What's up, Knoll Nation? It's the guys from Planting the Spear back with you for another episode, and we are here to talk about 100% football in this episode. It is time to get into some recruiting. I know I kind of told you guys on the last episode that we don't get into the weeds on recruiting. Well, I was hiding in the weeds telling you a joke because we are going to get into recruiting, and we got some things that I think you guys, we're going to talk about the new commits. We're going to talk about some, the state of FSU's recruiting overall. We're going to kind of do a little dive into how things are going for the Seminoles on the trail, as well as some other topics here that I think you guys are going to enjoy. Before we jump in, as always, I got my co-host Michael with me. How are you doing, my friend? And thank you for joining me for another episode.
Thanks, Jesse, for having me. Yeah, man, it's, you know, we're in the throes of summer. We're hitting July on Monday. And, you know, we're just looking to see what's happening, what's out in the world of Florida State. And so, yeah, recruiting, we've hit some big, big shots this past weekend, apparently. Yeah. And so we're going to get into some of that and excited to see kind of where this class shapes up and the future of Florida State recruiting. I know there's some angst out there about that, so we're going to talk about all that, man. Let's get into it.
Yes, that is kind of the point of the show. We're going to, you know, we're going to talk about the commitments that we got and then kind of, you know, calm the seas a little bit when it comes to recruiting, because it may not be as bad as people that freak out. You know, the one thing that's weird about recruiting is this has got to be the most sensitive topic in college football. Like, we know, we said on the last show, these kids ain't loyal. They're going to commit. Right. You know, people get excited about 2026 commits. It's like, man, that's 2 years away. Kids don't stay committed for 2 weeks, let alone 2 years. So that's people get so, you know, life or death over whether someone commits or decommits. But I think overall, when you look at the big picture, Florida State's in a good position. Yeah. Things are starting to heat up on the trail. You know, this summer heat isn't the only thing that's heating up right now, the temperature. So hopefully the momentum doesn't die like I feel that's like right. I'm about to when I was cutting my grass yesterday.
It's hot.
Ooh, man, we're touching almost triple digits here. So,
jeez Louise.
But let's jump in, man. I know that we've got some commitments that I'm really excited about. And let's start with one of the ones that, man, this is what we've been needing for a long time. And this is the defensive tackle, Kevin Wynn. For those of you watching on YouTube, we're going to throw a slide up. For those of you listening on the podcast, we'll make it all make sense for you. So Kevin Wynn, four-star defensive tackle, interior defensive lineman out of Greensboro, Georgia, commits to Florida State. 6'2", 320 pounds, kind of that compact body defensive tackle that we've seen Odell covet in the past with a few other guys throughout his long coaching tenure. Top 200 recruit nationally coming in at 195. Top 25 defensive line coming in at 24. Number 29 prospect out of the state of Georgia. He chose FSU over UGA, Alabama, LSU, and of course your in-state rivals, UF and Miami. And so some of the notes that I have on here for the scouting report that why I'm really excited about this guy, man, he's a hard hitter. When you watch his huddle film, he ragdolls people to the ground. He's got that mean streak. You know, and for that, you see 6'2", 320, and you think, okay, space eater. And that's fair. He can do that for you, but he's so much more than that. He's athletic and explosive for his size. He can take on and split double teams. He can create havoc in the backfield. He had 30 tackles for a loss alone last season and over 50 in his career. He can stuff the run. And I've noticed that he's got good pursuit skills. Like, he doesn't give up on plays. He runs, you know, plays down from the backside, which is nice to see as well. He also does track and field. So I think he does like a shot put and stuff like that. You know, he probably ain't running.
I was like, is he sprinting 100? Okay, let's go. No,
he's throwing heavy stuff. But that's what you want out of your defensive lineman. And so, man, like, it's funny when you look at player comparisons, because that's what we always like to do here. You know, you think maybe in recent memory, Robert Cooper, stuff like that. That's not what he is. And it's funny, and I mentioned this because when I watched his tape, a name popped into my mind. When you just see the way he plays, you see his body type. And I was like, man, I don't know if I want to throw this name out there and maybe look silly, because this is a really lofty comparison to put on a high school kid. But then I was on the Renegade Report with my friend George the other night, and they threw out the same name. So apparently I'm not the only one that thinks this. But to me, there's a little Timmy Jernigan-ish in this guy. When you see the body type and the way he plays, man, I think – you know, if he turns out to be that, hey, that is amazing for us. But that's kind of what I see a little bit here in Kevin Wynn. Now, before I kick it to you to share your thoughts, I will say there is one other thing about this commitment that's big. Now, of course, you got to hold on to him. You got to get him in the class. This is also important in another matter. This is a huge win for Odell on the recruiting trail. Now, we know that there has never, ever, ever been a question with the development under Odell. Right. He is the GOAT. They do great in the portal. But let's be honest, man. They have signed one blue chip tackle, which was KJ Sampson, in the last four classes. There have been some, you know, rumblings about, do we need to make a change because of high school recruiting? You don't really have those high school guys waiting in the wings. This was big for him to go out and get this win on the recruiting trail. There's some other defensive tackles that are talented that we're in on. But, man, this was a big get for the interior defensive line and a big win for Odell Higgins as well. So I'll kick it to you and let you share some thoughts on Kevin Wynn.
Yeah, I think this is a huge win for Florida State and for Odell Higgins to be able to get this guy up against the likes of Bama and Georgia and those big schools, the SEC schools that are out there. I mean, this is, like you said, a space eater. He does. I was going to say as well, too, when I was watching the film on him, he does remind me a lot of maybe not as polished and as elite as Timmy Jernigan was at the end of his career at Florida State, but definitely that early on, you could see those comparisons, those likes. And so this is a huge win. Now, again, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. And so it's good to have his commitment. But as we know, in this day and age, just like you said at the in the opener, you know, let alone keeping kids committed for 2 weeks, 5 minutes, you know, they're going to have to still continue to solidify this relationship and bring it home and get him to sign on the dotted line. And you know, Texas and Georgia and Alabama and US and Florida and Miami, they're not going to quit recruiting this kid. They're not. They're going to keep throwing the bags and the money and all like that at this kid. They're going to point out the fact that we're in the ACC. They're going to keep going with this kid. And so it's going to be up to Odell and that staff to lock down and continue to recruit this kid at the highest urgency to get him to sign in. But it is an exciting thing. And then I'll say this too as well, is that yes, the one of the biggest concerns on recruiting has been, has Odell lost his touch? Has he lost his ability to recruit those high school kids? We know that if he can get them on campus, whether high school or transfer portal, the development is there. You see it every year. Every year these DTs are turning out. But was it? But were we not able to now? What was he losing influence with the local high schools in the state of Florida and around where he was recruiting that we weren't seeing that? So to get this commitment says he ain't dead yet.
Right, right. Don't give up on the GOAT yet. And I think too that when you look at, they put Fisk in the league, did, the way that defensive line was so dominant last year. I know that Fabo went kind of as an undrafted free agent, which I thought was, I mean, that was a steal. I think the Chiefs is where he landed. So, like, I think you kind of saw that development really start to kick up because you had kind of missed on that a few years there.
Yep.
So, I think now you get that proof in the pudding has kind of come back, which, again, it leads into the next guy we're going to talk about, where you look at Ron Dugans. It was the same type of narrative. Yes, it was, can he get high school recruits? Yeah, you went out and you got guys, you know, from the portal. And of course, they had a big receiver class last year, which was great too. But, you know, they really kind of hadn't. Florida State has always struggled with receivers in the NFL. It's just kind of always been a hit or miss for us. Now you put Keon in there, you put Johnny in there. So I feel like now that kind of helps sell that pipeline to the league. And so that leads us into our next commitment, which, from what a lot of the national recruiting, the people that cover recruiting nationally, excuse me, this was one of the surprise commitments of the really the last few years. I mean, I don't think anybody saw this coming, including probably 99.9% of the people in the room that were there to cover it. So you get four-star wide receiver C.J. Wiley out of Alpharetta, Georgia. And this is what I love about C.J. Wiley. 6'4", 195 pounds. Top 200 kid nationally, coming in at 136, top 15 wide receiver. That's supposed to say wide receiver, not D line there. And he is the 32nd prospect out of Georgia. And he chose FSU over UGA and LSU. And what's interesting about that is both of his parents went to LSU. His dad was like an all conference defensive lineman there, which it sounded like it was really a Georgia lean anyway. That's where they thought he was going to go. And then when he picked up the FSU hat, everybody thought there's going to be some shenanigans going on. Maybe he throws the hat, picks Georgia or whatever. But no, he sticks with Florida State. And this is huge for them to get this win on the trail because, you know, we've seen them go head to head with Georgia a few times. Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. But this kid is going to be, I think, if you can keep him in the boat, and let's address it before we get into the player talk. there were some comments during that press conference where he said his recruitment's still open and all this stuff. And just like you said with the Kevin Wynn, these programs are not going to stop recruiting him. They're especially a team like Georgia. They're not going to stop coming after him. But the fact that you got him in the boat, you know, that is important to start with. Now, I mean, yeah, those comments are concerning. I will say that. But there were also some comments that were clipped out that they didn't show that were encouraging about why he committed to Florida State. But, you know, yeah, those concerns are there. But I also want to point out that that room was literally like 100%, if not 99% UGA media. Yep. I'm sure there was a lot of things being directed or leading questions going one way or the other to see how things stood. And I mean, let's be honest, guys, he's probably what, 17 years old. You know, it's probably hard to just, you know, someone that's recruited you and someone that's pressing you right there to say exactly like, oh no, forget about y'all. But I just want to address that because this might be one that I don't know that you make it to early signing day, but if you do, you're getting a really good player. I mean, again, 6'4", pushing 200 pounds, a 6'9" wingspan. I mean, this dude has got all the measurables you want. Big bodied, multi-sport athlete. He's a track guy. He ran a 10.91 100 meter, which is moving for a guy that size. Plays basketball as well. And the thing that I like about him, he's got a large catch radius. He's got excellent physical tools. He's got a large route tree for his age. Yeah. He can work the middle of the field. He's got a lot of different qualities about him. He's not so much a quickness guy, but what I really like about him is he's got that strider speed. When you watch his film, like, he doesn't really look like he's moving really fast, but man, he just creates separation, just pulls away from defenders in the open field. So he's got, you know, a lot of people talk about player comparisons. A lot of people have been throwing around that he looks like maybe a Keon 2.0. You kind of got the same body type, you know, maybe this guy's a little thicker, but I think this could possibly be that Keon type of player for you. We'll see. I mean, again, that's another lofty expectation to put on somebody, but another thing I noticed is he's good at making catches in tight windows.
Yeah.
With DBs on him, he can, because of his basketball background, he's got good body control. He can go up and get balls in one-on-one. So he's going to be a great red zone and deep ball threat, which is no surprise when you see his yards per catch average is 21.7 yards per catch.
Jeez.
Guy is insanely productive. Last year, his junior year of high school, he had 68 receptions, 1,473 yards, and 14 touchdowns. I mean, that's just insane. Now, of course, you know, when you got a dominant guy, you just keep feeding him the ball.
You just feed him. Yeah.
Right. Just feed him. But man, if you can keep him committed, this is a great pickup for Florida State. And when you look at these two guys in general, I think what Florida State is doing too out of the high school ranks, because we know they like the portal. We're all in favor of the hybrid recruiting process and whatnot. I think what they're focusing on, and this is what we're going to dive into in a minute, but they're focusing on areas of need that aren't always available in the portal. The big body wide receivers, the trench players, the guys that you don't find often, or they come with a really high price tag. So this gives you that big body receiver. Now you just got to hang on to them.
Absolutely. I mean, this was a shocking, shocking development. No one went into the day thinking that CJ was going to pick Florida State. You know, I was watching the video replay on Twitter, and just even watching his body language, watching everybody in the room, it was almost like they didn't even know what to do when he picked the Florida State hat. They were waiting for, like some shenanigan of him throwing the hat or revealing a Georgia shirt or something like that. And he just stuck to it. Like, there's even a point where his dad just kind of looks at him like, this is real? Like,
they didn't look exactly super thrilled. So hopefully they come around on it, but.
Right. But yeah, I mean, this kid is an incredible, the Keon comparisons, while lofty, make a lot of sense. I mean, this dude is huge. One of the things I loved about his film was that when I was watching it, is he attacks the ball a lot like Keon would. Like, instead of waiting for the ball to come to him, waiting for the ball to drop, as they say in the receiver, in the basket, he actually would high point, go get the ball, extend the hands before the defender had an ability to try to disrupt the pass. Those are the kind of, not only is he big body, but the desire and ability to attack the ball, man, those are the kind of receivers that you see thriving, especially in this era of football in general, whether pro or college. And you know, Mike Norvell, if he can get this dude to signing day and get him signed, you know, Mike's going to use him in the similar way that he's going to use Keon, in similar ways that I think you might see, just to talk about a recent one, Malik Benson this season. I think you're going to see potentially that same type of leverage and usage that Norvell could use with CJ Wiley. Now, again, I'm with you on this. I'm putting this at probably 45%. We get this to signing day and see that this guy, with Georgia, with his parents going to LSU, like I think a lot of that influence, you know, Georgia's going to use every trick in the bag, every aunt, uncle, cousin, grandma, you know, next door neighbor from your childhood friend to try to get this kid swayed. So we're really going to see Ron Dugans and this staff earn their money if they can pull this one off on signing day.
Yeah, you're going to have to hold on. But one of the things I do like where you talked about the way they use him is that's one of the things that they sold him on. They said that he can be used inside and outside the same way that they used Keon and Johnny. You know, the thing is that's so interesting about this staff, and I don't want to go too far into this because we're about to after this next commitment, is just they take a different approach. You know, they look at more like this is how we can use you. This is where we can improve your skill set. Not, hey, look at all the Lambos we got sitting out front. But they showed, you know, that's something that we see Texas do.
That's right.
But they told him that's how they plan on using him. And that increases versatility. That's something that he talked about. And he also talked about how this is where, you know, I know there's sometimes where people want to make staff changes and whatnot, but the continuity begins to pay off because he even said that, like, I know Florida State feels like it came out of nowhere, but they've been recruiting me. I've known Dugan since I was a freshman. And so they've been on me since then. So now you're starting to see that continuity and those long-term relationships start to pay off.
Yeah.
Now, one guy that the next guy we're going to talk about, this is a little farther in the future. We're going to stretch it on out, but we're going to talk about him as well because this is a commitment that I'm extremely excited about. And we're going to stretch out to Tribe 26, and that is with quarterback Brady. Look, I've heard it's like Smigel. I know everyone jumps to Smeagol. I don't think he's like, I don't think he was in the Lord of the Rings, so I don't know that we're going to go that route. However you say it, we'll wait till we get a pronunciation guide. But Brady Smigel, we'll go with that for right now. Four-star quarterback out of Newberry Park, California. Man, this is what's so impressive about this kid. Going into his junior year, 6'5", 205 pounds already. What are they putting in the food nowadays?
Right.
Top 100 kid nationally at number 53, number 5 quarterback in the 2026 class, top 10 player out of California at number 9, held 32 offers, including Ohio State, Oregon, UGA, Florida, and Miami. So this kid has got, I mean, just an impressive list of offers. Basically, every big-time school you can think of in the country has offered him. And you get the commitment coming out of California. So this was huge. Now, I know Tony Tokars had a big part of this recruitment. And something that we're going to touch on in just a second is Florida State's separation from Director of High School Relations, Ryan Bartow. He was actually influential in this recruitment. So I think that's why you saw Tony Tokars take the lead on the recruitment late, because they knew that change was coming and they wanted to, make sure you had someone, that good relationship there. But when you look at this kid, man, what is so impressive to me about him is how far along he has come already as a young player. Now, he is a 4-star in 247 composite. In case you guys don't know, that's the rankings that I use here on the show, but he is technically a 5-star according to Rivals. And really, when you look at his comparison, man, he is so closely compared, like his recruiting rankings to Luke Cromanhawk. They were both around the 53 mark, 54 mark nationally, both the number 5 quarterback in that class, both kind of had the same size. The difference here is Luke Cromanhawk, he didn't start till his junior year. And we know Mike Norvell got in on them early. He was backing up a kid that ended up going to Auburn. This kid started as a freshman. I mean, he's already, by the time he gets to Florida State, he will, you know, injuries aside, will have 4 years of starting experience. And that is really going to help with his football IQ. His dad is the head coach of the program. So, you know, it's a coach's son. You always hear good things about that. And then, I mean, they like the relationships with the staff. They like the type of person Coach Norvell is. You know, they got to sit in on meetings and they like how everybody interacted. So you hope this is one that will stick. He does plan to be a recruiter for FSU. But man, when you look at this kid, you know, he's not the most mobile guy. Right. He only has, over the last 2 years, 76 rushes, 279 yards, 7 touchdowns, but he can move the pocket. He's not scared to take a hit, and he's got a strong arm for only looking at highlights from his freshman and sophomore year. I mean, I think one of his huddle, he threw it was around like 50 yards.
Yeah.
Or so. And I mean, that's a sophomore, dude. He's probably, 15 years old? Yeah. So, like, that's impressive. And then when you hear his stats, man, I mean, this is just – I don't know if they run the air raid offense out there or what they're doing, but he's completed 511 passes with around a 62% completion percentage, 7,701 yards and 98 touchdowns with only 25 interceptions. I mean, when I look at this kid, I think this is another stacked, you know, player coming into a position group that, frankly, you have really, really flipped over the last few years. I mean, you think about Willie didn't get a single quarterback commit over 2 years.
Nope.
And then, you know, we took a gamble on Mackenzie Milton because we kind of just needed somebody. You think about the quarterback room when Mike Norvell got to Florida State compared to where it is now. You have Brock Glenn, a four-star quarterback who was previously committed to Ohio State. You have Luke Cromanhawk, who's a five-star. You have Trammell Jones Jr., which we're going to touch on in a second. And then you also have this kid coming in 2026, all waiting behind DJ Uiagalelei, who was a former five-star experienced guy with 40 power five starts. Man, this quarterback room is stacked for the foreseeable future. Now, are they going to keep them all? And we can kind of, we'll address this and we'll just bring it up kind of now. We talked about this before the show. There's some just uncertainness with Trammell Jones Jr. right now. Yeah. Now, hey, look, I hope we keep the kid. He did great in the Elite 11. Yeah. I think he finished like top six or something like that. I mean, you always want to keep the guy, but he's been taking visits to Florida. You're not 100% sure on whether he's going to stick or not. I think he even said that there would be some clarity on that this week. But here's the thing, man. If I had to pick one to lose, and this is no disrespect to the kid, it would probably be Trammell Jones Jr. You know, you almost worry about, is he the, man, I can't think of the name of the kid a few years ago where, I'm drawing a blank on it, but he didn't want them to recruit any other quarterbacks.
Oh, I remember who you're talking about.
Yeah, maybe I can't remember his name, but he, he ended up flipping once you signed somebody, and then I don't think he did anything at college. So when you look at the size and everything like that, I mean, Trammell Jones, 6 foot, 196, you know, number 287 nationally. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. He also has Jeremiah Smith to throw to. That helps a lot in high school. But I think if you were to lose one, but you keep the three, if you keep Brock Glenn, Cromanhawk, and now Brady, you're set for the foreseeable future. You also have Trevor Jackson in there. Let's not forget about that. Guy was a four-star walk-on. I mean, that's ridiculous. So this quarterback room is stacked no matter what happens with Trammell Jones Jr., although I hope we keep him in the fold because I think he can be a really good quarterback. Doesn't, you know, not so much on the NFL projection side of things, but either way, man, I'll let you share some thoughts on Brady whatever we want to say his last name is, Smigel, and then maybe some thoughts on what happens with Trammell Jones Jr. But, man, this is a really good get for Florida State in that quarterback room, and this room is so stacked going forward at the most important position in all of college football.
I mean, you just start right there, right? The idea that during the two just disastrous season of Willie Taggart, we couldn't sign one quarterback. We let one quarterback string us along. And then basically we had a offensive coordinator who told that quarterback to go to a different university. And then we ended up whooping that quarterback every time we faced him. So, you know, whatever is whatever. But to now where Mike Norvell walked in, and I mean, let's just think about this. You know, remember what he inherited when he walked into this program? He had James Blackman. He had some walk-ons. He had DeAndre Francois, I think, for a hot minute. And then to get, you know, to get Jordan Travis up there, to get Brock Glenn, to get those quarterbacks. See, even, I mean, we had Rodemaker in there for a second there before he, you know, traded us and left. I mean, this quarterback class, this group, this room has seen a complete overhaul. And now you're not so worried about like, oh, are we going to have a quarterback for the future? No, you have it lined up. And so even with five-star Luke Cromahawk in there, like you feel so secure about this class. So to add 2026 Brady, I'm gonna go with Smigel. That's what I'm gonna go with. That's what it sounds like, feels like, until they correct me. Smigel. Let's go with Smigel instead of Smigel. So, you know, this kid, I mean, just a sophomore with 98 touchdowns as a sophomore.
That's insane.
It's insane. And now I know Newberry, because I used to live in California. It is one of the powerhouses out there. And so, you know, they're throwing the ball around a lot. So, you know, and his dad's probably, you know, making sure that arm looks really good for the college scouts. But this kid's a good kid. I mean, and watching the film, like you said, he's not as mobile, but his accuracy is pretty good. He can put the ball where he needs to be. He can make what they say, the proverbial NFL throws. You know, he can throw wide, he can throw the corner, he can throw the deep, he can throw the short. He can move the pocket around just enough to make sure he gets the window angles or throw angles there. And you know, he's just a sophomore. So he's going into his junior year. You imagine he will only improve, barring injury and stuff like that, and then a senior as well too. So if they can hold on to this kid in 2026 and get him signed, you know, he could be the future of the class. Now, as it relates to Tremell Jones, you know, this kid, you know, was one of the recruits that committed, I think last year, and we were all excited for. But as he's been going on his recruit, he's been very vocal about the fact that Florida and some of these other schools have been recruiting him, that he's going to plan to take visits. You know, we're supposed to get clarity on whether he's fully bought in or not. And again, fully bought in this day and age of college recruiting basically means I'm here until somebody shows me a better bag. And right. So, whether or not he sticks, again, I agree with you. If we're going to lose somebody in this class, you know, I'd rather be Tremell Jones than anybody else because I feel like this room is good. I think Tony Tokoraz and Mike Norvell have done an incredible job of getting the type of quarterback they need and want that's going to run the offense, the system that Mike loves to run. And so if Tremell sticks, awesome. If not, you know what? I'm sure Mike has plan Bs, Cs, Ds, Es, Fs, Gs. I mean, he's got the alphabet.
Yeah, and the kid I was trying to think of was Chris Parson.
That's what it was. I was looking it up. Yes.
Out of Tennessee. I knew I had wrote an article on it, so I had to go look it up. And by halfway through scrolling, I was like, oh, I remember.
That's right.
And so, like, he didn't want you to take another quarterback, and you did. And so it ended up working out. I mean, he ended up going to Mississippi State, apparently, has basically no stats there. You know, Mike Norvell also told Jeff Sims to kick rocks.
That's right.
That has panned out very well for them so far.
Very well.
Because he has just not been that great. And I mean, that's nothing against the kids, but you have to trust the process and not let the players dictate how you recruit and who you sign. Right. Because those, once they waver or they leave, and you know what, man? Hey, look, I'm all for, you know, players being able to move around and do what they want. When you look at what just happened with Texas A&M's baseball coach, that's a whole nother situation. But, you know, there's no loyalty almost anywhere anymore. Nope. So, you know, I think you did a great job stacking talent in that quarterback room. And again, this is why you brought DJ in, because you have so many talented guys that are coming. They're just not quite ready yet. So if you can get that one good year out of him, then you are set up for the future, as long as you can keep these guys in the boat. So with that being said, let's jump into the recruiting a little bit, kind of as a whole, the state of FSU recruiting now that we have got those commitments out of the way. So let's start with the 2025 class, the class at hand. And this is really why we even bring up this subject, because like you said, man, there's some angst around Florida State's recruiting. We have basically, let's call a spade a spade, it's a tiny class. You only have six commitments right now compared to basically everybody above you has double digits, which, you know, this is why we're going to go into why I'm not worried about that right now. So if you look at the 247 composite, Florida State is all the way down at 63rd. That's not entirely great, right? ACC rank is 17th, dead last in the conference in recruiting rankings per the 247 composite. That's not exactly great coming off a 13-win season, but this is why I employ everybody to stop focusing on the number next to the ranking and what you're actually getting. Right. It's about what you're getting, not how much you got. And so to point that out, first off, when you look at On3, in their industry rankings, Florida State ranks 15th, with 13 out of the 14 teams above you having at least double your commitments. Clemson has 10. Everybody else has, I think, 12 or more. So you're top 15 with half as many recruits. And for most of the recruiting services are like a point accrual system. So this is why you see teams like Miami and all that have such great rankings. Yeah, they get some good players, but they load up with an army of 3 stars and it bumps their average up. So when you look at this class, when you look at 2025, yeah, the rankings aren't the most impressive. But what is the most impressive is when you look at their recruit average rating. And on 247, per the composite, which I like to grab the composite because it kind of puts in more than just one recruiting service, into these calculations, their player average right now is 94.1. That is the highest player average in the ACC. That's higher than 9 out of the top 10. That's higher than everybody above you except for one program, and that is Ohio State, who currently has the number one class in the country. And the margin that they're ahead of you by is really slim. Their player average rating is 94.18. Yours is 94.10. So you might have the smallest class of the 62 teams that are above you, but you have a better, you have better prospects committed than 61 of those programs.
Right.
And so right. when you look at 14 teams ranked above Florida State, keep in mind, Florida State has six commitments. They are all blue chips. Blue chips, for those of you that don't know, are 4- and 5-star recruits. And 14 of the teams above Florida State don't have a single blue chip commitment at all. 24 have one or fewer. We might be 63rd, but would you trade your class for anybody's outside of maybe Ohio State's? No, I wouldn't, because right. I also think, too, those numbers are going to come. You've got the quality. The quality is what you need to be focused on. Out of six kids, four of those are top 200, and two of those are top 50. Yeah. So the numbers are going to come. We just saw where they had almost 40 kids on campus throughout the month of June going into the dead period. You see a couple commitments. That usually kicks up some momentum. The numbers will come, and you will see them climb up those rankings. But I think the people who get nervous when you see 63rd, dead last in the ACC, things like that on the 247 rankings, there's no need to panic, because when you look at the pieces that you're getting, and you know, we talked about this in the last show. I think when they got here early, they swung really high at yeah. really good commitments when they didn't really have the success on the field or the cachet in the state of Florida to really land those kids. Now you do. So yeah. now you're going to go after those, you know, better recruits, but those bigger fish take more time to reel in. Correct. You know, I can go out to the pond and throw in my brim buster and pull in a brim in about 2 seconds. But if I go deep sea fishing, I'm trying to pull in a marlin, it might take me 3 hours to reel Correct. That sucker in.
Yes. Yes.
But the thing is, like, man, that it's going to take more time. So you're going to see these start to pop. But when you look at this current 2025 class, I mean, you got Solomon Thomas, who just shut down his recruitment. For whatever that means, we know that's you shut the door, but you didn't lock it. But that's a 5-star offensive lineman, number 15 player nationally, number 1 interior offensive line. So you got the number 1 kid at your position, number 2 kid in the state of Florida. Already has incredible size at 6'4", 315. You get Javion Hilson, 4-star edge, again number 1 player at his position, the number 1 edge in the class, top 30 kid coming in at number 30, top 10 kid in the state of Florida. So just when you look at the pieces that you have acquired, I mean, even Ethan Pritchard, 4-star linebacker. I mean, outside of Blake Nicholson, when the hell was the last time we signed a 4-star linebacker? 4-star
linebacker, yes.
So, the numbers may not be there, but you can see that the pieces they're getting are getting better and better and better. And, of course, these numbers will change. We don't expect them to finish with 100% blue chip ratio. Almost nobody Correct. Does that. But really, when you look at a lot of the top targets for this program, right now, there's not a whole lot of 3-stars. I mean, you have Hollis Davidson, the tight end, who's a 3-star, but pretty much most everybody else on the board are 4- and 5-star recruits. So, I mean, again, this really could set up to be Mike Norvell's best class since he got to Tallahassee. And so, to me, I think it's going to take more time. Games have to get played. If they can put together another quality season, you know, somewhere in that 10 wins mark, maybe compete or win the ACC championship again, and also you know, sneak into the playoffs, whether it's as the ACC championship or at large bid. I think the thing this year is, like, everybody knew you had a stacked team last year. And I think there's a misconception when you look at the team this year that this team is actually more talented, but I think people want to see, can you replicate that success that you don't have Keon and Johnny and Jordan and all those. But if you put together a solid season, you could have Florida have a terrible season. You could have Miami underachieve. You know, you could have a lot of these. No one knows what DeBoer is going to do at Alabama. So I think overall, there's no reason for people to freak out over the state of recruiting in Tallahassee, because it's gotten better the entire time he's been there. And we're going to go into that in a minute. But just looking at this 2025 class, man, this is a stacked class. It's small, but the pieces in it are what you need to focus on, not how many of them you have. Because those numbers are going to come. They're going to start to stack up recruits. But, man, they got some really, really good players in this class.
Absolutely. Well, I think first, you know, Jesse, I think everybody just let's all just take a deep breath. OK, let's just take a deep breath. OK, second of all, this ain't your granddaddy's recruiting era of college football. Right. This is just a different thing. And it's not even just the fact that the that the landscape of college football recruiting is changing in one sector. No. Like, if you're looking at a whole pie and it's divided into eight, all eight sectors of college football recruiting is changing all at one time. So every coach is having to adapt and readjust and figure it out. And the coaches who have had the most success on the field, who have national titles and conference championships already in their wing, are obviously ahead of the game. And Florida State is catching up to that game, right? Because you can remember, as the world was changing during the pandemic, Florida State was barely installing its brand new coaching team and philosophy and everything, coming off the dreadfulness of Willie Taggart. So Mike Norvell and that staff were already behind the eight ball because of the pandemic, because they weren't established. Now, were there other programs that were installing a new coach at the same time that had a little bit more success? Yes, but where are they now? That's the question, right? Because Mike Norvell does it differently. And when you look at this 2025 class, as you said, Jesse, this is quality over quantity. The quantity is going to come. But you and I both know that at the end of, let's say, 3 to 4 years from now, we're looking back and Florida State hasn't won an ACC title, hasn't won a national title. Maybe it's been 8 or 4 or less. We're going to look back and say, it's because we got all a bunch of those 3-star recruits. We didn't get into the 4-stars. We didn't get into the 5-stars. We just recruited so that we could have recruiting numbers. And we won the offseason recruiting championship every year, but really didn't do anything in the season. Does that sound familiar, Jesse? Sounds like a program down south, right? That's not what we're trying to be. Yeah. Moral Gables. We're not trying to be Moral Gables. We're not trying to be Miami. We are trying to win titles. We're trying to win conference championships. We're trying to win the national championship. And to do that, you have to get quality. Yes, you need numbers because you need numbers. You need bodies. But you want to make sure that the crux, the core of your recruiting class is quality players. Players are going to come in and make a difference from day one. And you look up and down this 2025 class of these 6 players, you see difference makers and more on the way. That's the thing, though. The other side of this is that Mike Norvell and this staff, they are not just, let's go get pressuring recruit to commit right now. That's not what they're in it. They want to make sure that if this recruit is going to pull the trigger and commit to Florida State, that they are in. Obviously, because in the last 3 signing periods, we've had every single year that recruit do something crazy on signing day that, you know, just makes us just want to pull our hairs out, right? And so I imagine that this staff is hammering it home. Don't pull this trigger until you know for sure this is the place you want to go, that you want to be. Now, again, it's a game, right? And they're going to play the game and they're looking for the biggest bags. And this coaching staff is not dumb and not naive, but they're going to figure it out. And NIL plays a massive difference in this space as well too, because, you know, FSU offers one thing, the kid commits. And then you know what that kid does? As soon as he commits, you know what CJ Wiley's doing right now? He's going right back to Georgia and say, look, I committed to Florida State. They offer me this. What you got? What you going to do, right? Yeah. And it plays in that sense. And players are not playing for the front of the jersey anymore. We know that. Ever since NIL became, and we're not saying NIL is bad, but it's just the truth of the fact. Players are not playing for the front of the jersey anymore. The ACC banner over us doesn't help as well. And so Mike and them, they have to be very meticulous about these big, they're swinging big. But they're going to be diligent about it. They're not just going to take anybody and everybody, as well as the fact that in this, and this is, I'll throw this back to you, in this era of college football, you cannot only assume that it's going to be the high school recruiting that's going to make a difference between you winning and competing for a national championship. You have to consider the transfer portal. Now, yes, you can point out the fact that Georgia and Alabama and Ohio State, they're not really big into the transfer portal because they got a high school recruiting, all that stuff. But you're also talking about a college football program that's been established before the transfer portal became a thing. Yeah. And so they already have a long history of a pipeline of the high school that they're developing, that they're pouring into. But guess what? DeBoer at Alabama, he's starting to figure out that he can't recruit like Nick Saban is now because he doesn't have the same established relationship. So what is he doing? He's leaning into the transfer portal. I think the day that Georgia changes coaches, the day that eventually and probably inevitably that Ohio State fires Ryan Day because he's got all that talent, he's done nothing with it, that coach is going to have to figure out how to leverage the transfer portal. Mike Norvell, and as you mentioned, I think a little bit earlier, Lane Kiffin from Ole Miss, they figured out that in this new era of college football, this is where it's going. Yeah. You're not going to be able to have the pipeline of pipelines. So Mike and them are they're going to take their swing. They're going to go after those high school recruits that they believe can be impactful in the program long term. But they're also going to go after those transfer portal that they know in the short term can change the trajectory of a team. And that's the combination that we need to get used to.
Right. No, I mean, I wholeheartedly agree. And to hit on a few of those points that I think you make really great points on is one, I think really nowadays in 2024, well, you know, the last few years going forward, there's really three arms of recruiting now. You have high school recruiting, you have portal recruiting, and then you have roster retention because you can lose them just as fast as you can get them.
That's right. That's right.
And they've done really good at all three. And to be honest, they were really the premier program in the portal early on. It took a long time for other people to start adopting that process. And now you're seeing a lot of people start to copy. Because like people will say that a lot of those programs don't go to the portal. But, I mean, look at Georgia. They just landed with the ETN kid from Florida, running back.
Right.
Alabama took Jahmyr Gibbs, Georgia Tech's best running back. Even DeBoer. I mean, I think they got like a top five class right now. So they're doing well. But, I mean, his quarterback that they just made the national championship game, that was a transfer. So he knows, it has been shown. You know, we talked about Lane Kiffin, and I got some more numbers on him in a second. But, like, they were not a national title contender. They were a good team. I mean, you thought they could win some games, but they're being favored as a national title contender now, not because of their high school recruiting, because of what they did in the portal. And so I think that is important to remember. And this staff has always shown the ability to do that. And you know, even then, when you tie that into something that is no BS for the staff, the fit in the family is a real thing. They make sure these kids, it's almost like they're kind of taking the Clemson approach, but not really, because they're that's a whole different
that's a whole different animal.
That's a whole different jar Kool-Aid up there. But the thing is with them is like Dabo does not like you to take official visits once you're committed. Once you're committed, you're in the boat. You're either in or you're out. And so I think they're kind of now looking more like, okay, you can take some visits, but once you lock this thing down, you're with us. And so they do allow them to take some visits, but quarterbacks may be a little different. That's why there's a little bit of angst there about Tramiel Jones. But at the same time, and I still think he ends up in your class because you could have a coaching change and all that. But the fit and the family do matter. So you're not going to see them just swing at everybody. They're going to make sure these kids fit. Because when you look at a lot of the high-end recruits that Florida and Miami have pulled in, a lot of those guys have transferred out.
Yeah.
Florida State really hasn't lost anybody that is of significance. There's really nobody that's went anywhere else and that was a dominant player. Let me rephrase that. There's no one that was a dominant player at Florida State that left, really.
That's right.
And went and did anything anywhere else. You've seen guys like the Princely kid from Florida. You know, he was like a major player there. He's already left. You've seen some other guys. You know, from
ETN going to Georgia.
Right. Like you've seen a lot of their high end guys leave, and that's not something that you've seen from Florida State. So I also think, you know, when you get into it for these big battles, NIL, look, there's no dancing around this. NIL helped Florida State. We'd still be in the muck and the mud if it wasn't NIL and it wasn't for the portal. And that's because we have one of the best collectives at our back, at our side in the Battle's End. But the Battle's End is also one of the smartest collectives. They're not going to overpay. They're not going to do these $13 million deals like you saw at Florida. They're not. Right. But here's also the problem with NIL when you're looking at it from a defensive perspective. You might not be willing to overpay for kids, but somebody is.
Somebody is.
And they might not pay for their whole class, but say the team A needs an offensive tackle. Team B needs a wide receiver. Team B or Team C needs a DB, and you have all three. It might not be a bidding war between Florida State and Alabama. You might be bidding against Florida State and Alabama, Florida State and South Carolina, Florida State and Tennessee, where they are willing to dump their money into an individual one of your recruits.
Right.
So you're having now, I think because of that, you've seen NIL and the portal spread the wealth farther. I think you see the talent, you know, if you make a peanut butter and jelly, you know, you're spreading the peanut butter a little bit thinner. Yeah,
that's right.
And I'm a crunchy guy for the record. I don't know about you, but
I like the crunch.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I just think it's big, man. It's helped. And I think the approach that they have is going to pay off in the long run. And again, you still have some guys coming down the pipeline here. I mean, you got 4-star running back Byron Lewis. Yeah. That's a number 15 running back coming out of American Heritage. Yeah. Yeah. I've heard that name before. There's a certain guy who used to coach there. So you feel good about that. four-star wide receiver Dalen McCutcheon is one that Florida State likes to land. That's a top 100 kid.
That's right.
You're in it for five-star offensive tackle Josh Petty. That's number 32 nationally, number five offensive tackle. His sister is going to be a freshman at Florida State next year, so that is a big part of his decision. I think you're going to be able to get Peyton Joseph, four-star interior offensive lineman. He commits July 4th, so we'll see where he ends up. That's a top 200 kid nationally. Yep. Of course, we mentioned Hollis Davidson, three-star tight end. You like him too. And then looking at some of the other commits that you may get, four-star defensive lineman Jalen Wiggins that you may be able to flip from Florida.
Yep.
You also have four-star Myron Charles. These, again, these are all two top 200 kids. I think Tavion Wallace is the one that you – this is the one you want to land. This is the kid left in the class that you got to get. You have went all in on him. Four-star linebacker. I mean, right out of your backyard, 59, top 60 kid, top six linebacker. When the heck is the last time we got two four-star linebackers in the same class? This would be huge. You have Gregory Zay Thomas, who looks favored to you as well. He commits June 30th. So the thing is, man, there are so many big fish left to play out. And
that's right.
That this class is only going to get better. And I think two things that I want to touch on here real quick, before we kind of look at some other things when we talk about those kids that are about to recruit, speaking of linebackers, is, man, we just saw the changes where now on the assistants, the Polo Army. They're allowed to basically coach in practice and in games, hands-on coaching. And
in games, that's right.
You telling me that Ernie Sims hire doesn't look really freaking good about right now? Like, you can come get coached at linebacker by one of the best, and you may even see where, like, okay, you hire, and it's going to be an arms race to build your staffs out, because you can now basically have unpaid, unlimited, you know, unlimited paid staffs. You may see, hey, Randy, go to the trail. We got someone here to coach that, you know, we got you covered. But Rick Stockstill, another guy, 30 plus years coaching experience, is now able to help coach. So, man, that's going to be a big selling point to some of these guys, and you're going to be able to bring these in. I mean, Alabama's been doing it basically forever, but now
let's be real.
Right, but now you can pretty much do it. But yeah, man, so I think that's huge, you know. And then some of the other things, like at the defensive end, you did see Nicholas Clayton commit somewhere else. He went to Wisconsin. From what they said, that he was a take until the last minute. And now I think that means if you were a no take on him at the last minute, that means you probably got a yes from someone else.
That's right.
Now, Zion Grady went to Ohio State. That was kind of a disappointment there. You were kind of hoping you could get him, but you're still in it with five-star Jared Smith. Now, he is lean. They do give him an Auburn lean. But the reason I bring this up is because the next little bit I want to talk to about as well is, like we hinted at earlier, is them moving on from your high school director of recruiting or relations. Look, there's some rumors about personal things. I'm not going to get into that. You know, I know he lost a family member. We're not going to go into that. But I think really the talking point here that I've seen for the most part was misreading some recruitments. And so I think this might have been one of them. You told Clayton no, and maybe you thought you had someone else like Zion Grady, and it didn't work out for you. There's been kind of a history where he's done really good, but maybe you've whiffed on some guys that you thought you felt good on in the past. And, you know, all I'll say about this is, Mike Norvell, if he's done nothing else in his time at Florida State or coaching, he has shown you he is one hell of a hiring guy.
Yes, like, he is.
The coaches that he can bring in. You know, you started with Marcus Woodson as your DB coach. You move on from him. You bring in Patrick Surtain, never coached at the college level, never recruited at the college level. I mean, look at how that's panning out. So I feel like they knew this move was probably going to come for whatever reason that happened, and they're going to find a suitable replacement. And you know, he did good to help you get in those relationships in Florida. He did with that. But if you feel like there's an area you can improve, whether it's because of a recent fall off or not, you got to make the switch. You got to do what you got to do to be in that leader position. So, man, I'll let you share any thoughts on that, and then we'll get into some other numbers that I think you guys are really going to find interesting about the climb in recruiting and how we're living that out. This is the climb personified. So I'll let you share a few thoughts on that, and then we'll get into it.
Yeah. You know, I think that with the high school relations recruiting guy, you know, it was already a risky hire going into it. Everybody in the industry, everybody in the media, you know, that knew of that person and that thought that this was a boom or bust. And for a while, it was very much Boom. I mean, he was great. I even remember there's a picture I have on my social media where I took my son to his first game at Florida State, and it was a huge moment for me, you know, because I obviously didn't have a dad and all like that stuff. But I was able to take my son, and Ryan was there, and he came over and he talked to my son and just made us feel awesome. And so that was a great moment for us. And so I have a you know, friendly to the guy, but as well. What also was going on behind the scenes that, you know, a lot of us didn't know about was just like you said, like, you know, we Florida State would be led to believe that this recruit was in the bag and we got him and then show up and then it would not be that. And it kept happening over and over and over again. And a lot of people, you know, have come out of the woodworks now and talked about some of the stuff behind the scenes and how it wasn't great and how, you know, the relationship and had deteriorated. And so, you know, Mike Norvell is he's gracious. He's kind. He's not going to say a bad word about the guy. But also, he's got to win. He's got a program to manage, and he is going to go fine. I mean, you look at the coaches he's brought in. You already mentioned Tony Tokeraz. You already mentioned the Patrick Surtain. I mean, come on, Adam Fuller. Everybody wanted to fire Adam Fuller after the first year.
Yeah, exactly. And now
he's one of the best defensive coordinators in the country, right? You talk about, you know, Alex Atkins. Oh, my gosh, what has he done? I mean, so Mike is going to, you know, Rick Stockstill, you know, Florida State alum there. I mean, he's brought in these coaches. He's brought back Ernie Sims. You know, he is, you know, not only is a wizard in X and O's, but he actually knows a lot about the Jimmys and Joes, and he can bring those people in, and you know he's going to find the right guy that's going to help continue to build those relationships with high schools, and probably even better than what it was currently now. And so, and Mike, we trust.
Yeah, 100%. And of course, we wish Ryan Bartow nothing but the best going forward. Yeah. I mean, it's not like he did us wrong or anything.
Right.
But, you know, but that's pretty much just the thoughts on that. It's just some news that you kind of got to cover there. So, Michael, before we get into this blue chip ratio that I want to talk about, the climb, as I've titled this, and I'm getting ready to drop an article. It may be out by the time you watch this or not, but I titled it basically On the Climb, examining the state of Florida State's recruiting. And so this is just why I want to talk about. We talked about the 2025 class and all that stuff and why you shouldn't be worried about it. But you know one thing you don't have to worry about, Michael?
Come on now.
And that's getting great FSU gear at a great price from our friends at Alumni Hall FSU. Look, they have all kinds of great selection of gear to choose from, and you can get it at a great price by using code SPEAR to save 10% on your order online or in-store. Look, these guys, I have to give them a shout out because I'm super proud to be working with them right now. Obviously, we know the High Flying Circus tent got knocked down in the storms recently. They started selling some shirts as a benefit. They raised over $12,000.
Oh, man, that's amazing.
To help them rebuild. So that's amazing. So go support those guys for the work that they're doing in the community and just because they got awesome FSU gear that you can get at a great price, supporting those that support us. So 1415 Timber Lane Road in Tallahassee or online at Alumni Hall. Navigate over to the FSU page and use code SPEAR. So thank you so much for supporting those that support us. But let's talk about the climb in recruiting. You know, Mike Norvell likes to use the climb moniker. So here's why I think people just have to kind of relax. Just like you said, take a deep breath. Everything's going to be fine. We talked about the 2025 class, the new commitments, how we're excited about things going forward. But let's look at how this has panned out over time. And so I'm going to throw a slide up for you guys watching on YouTube real quick. Now, here is the blue chip ratio. And let me pull back here. Let me rewind something real quick. So blue chip ratio, for those of you that don't know, blue chip recruits are 4- and 5-star recruits. And your blue chip ratio is how many, either in recruiting, it's how many of your class are 4- and 5-stars. Of your roster, it's how many of your roster are 4- and 5-stars. And there's a thing that we're going to talk about in a little bit called the blue chip standard. It was, I believe, developed or discovered by Bud Elliott for CBS Sports. Most of you know that name, where teams from 2013 until currently still running. I thought Florida State could have been the team to bust it last year. Teams with under a 50% blue chip ratio have not won the national championship in that time. It's 10 years running. So it's the standard until it's not, until it's been broken. I thought Florida State could have done it with Jordan Travis and all that last year. They weren't given the chance or whatever. That's neither here nor there. But the point is, we talk about, you just mentioned it, it's the X's and the O's or the Jimmys and the Joes. A lot of That's people right. say it's the Jimmys and the Joes, not the X's and the O's. You still got to get dudes on your roster.
That's right.
That's what the blue chip standard tells you. If you're not above 50%, you're not winning a national title. It's just, it is what it is until it ain't. And so when you look at the class, this is how you acquire blue chips. So you have to look at the level that they're bringing in. So that sets the stage for why blue chips, what they are, and why they're important. So looking back at 2020, we already talked about this, man. We know they came into a disaster. You came into a locker room that had a lot of questions. You had just fired a coach in 2 years. You know, you had had multiple losing seasons. Mike Norvell comes from Memphis, not a real big name, had success there, but didn't really have a lot of cachet in the state of Florida. Didn't really hire staff that had a lot of cachet in the state of Florida. Just kind of went with the coaching and not recruiting guys. And they struggled early. I mean, a 23.5% blue chip ratio to start. Of course, we know in 2020, you couldn't even really recruit in person. Right. And so what I think is interesting, too, to follow along with this is I got some other calculations on blue chip ratios. But the one that I went back and looked at was also Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, because Lane Kiffin got hired in 2020 as well. Now, I understand Florida State's a better recruiting ground than Ole Miss, but hey, you're in the SEC, you're a fun school, party school, and all that good stuff. You got a coach, although he just got fired from USC, you know, he had a very nationally known coach, you know, he's kind of got his antics and whatnot. They had a 17.4% blue chip ratio in that first year. So it's like that 2020 was just rough. And then you only signed, this is number of blue chips here off to the side, and he signed 8 blue chip players, Mike Norvell did in 2020. Now you got to turn around in 2021 off the back of a 3-6 season and try and sell your vision. That's another tough sell. That's another tough place to be in. So, but you see the recruiting, it climbs up, the blue chip percentage climbs up to 31%. You sign one extra blue chip player at 9 players total. So you know how 2021 started. It didn't go well. 0-4, then you finished, okay, a little bit better.
Right.
So 2022 was still a hard sell. You were coming off that another losing season. 29%, again, 9 blue chips signed by Florida State in 2022. Then you start to see some proof of concept. That 10-3 record really skyrocketed the recruiting in this program. Also, you started being able to land bigger pieces in the portal. So 2023, your blue chip ratio climbs to 54.8%. You almost doubled it from the year before. You signed 17 blue chip players, almost double the number of blue chip players. Then you look at 2024, coming off of that good season as well. In 2023, your 2024 class, 62.5% blue chip ratio, 25 blue chip players signed. So we are, again, you just had to wait for those relationships to get better. Right. You had to wait for the NIL stuff to shake out. You had to wait for the on-field success to come to fruition. And now that you got it, you are climbing and climbing and climbing higher. Now, again, 2025, 2026, we know that they're not going to finish with 100% blue chip ratio, but you're sitting at 100% right now.
Right.
They have 6 blue chip players so far signed for 25 and 4 for 26. The entirety of your class are blue chips. Now, like I mentioned, when you go back and look at Lane Kiffin, they were 17.4% in 2020. They climbed to 30% in 2021 out of the COVID era. So, okay, theirs got better too. But they have not topped 50% since he's been hired. It's been 17.4, 30, 41.7, 43.6, 39.1, 44.4. And the thing that's interesting to me when you look at these numbers, they never cracked over 30% until they started going to the portal. Because when you look at, they have signed 15 blue chip players in 2022. 9 of those were transfers. 17 in 23, 9 transfers. 18 in 24, 8 transfers. He saw what Mike Norvell's doing. Yeah. He said, look, man, they put them on the forefront of being competitive right now with the portal. Yeah. So they've started leaning in that as well. And now to tie it in here, because everybody's talking about, you know, everybody still says, oh, we can't recruit, or they have to rely on the portal and all this stuff. And this is why I tell you guys, don't worry about recruiting, because we're going to be fine. Mike Norvell can win with X's and O's, and he can win with Jimmy's and Joe's.
Yes.
He's really not had a whole lot of Jimmy's and Joe's yet either. So when we get all these guys in there, it's only going to get better. So keeping the numbers in mind, let's look at some of the other programs in Florida here. Now, we realize that Mike Norvell got off to a tougher start. He walked into a tougher situation than Billy Napier did, where Florida might have been a little bit of a mess, but they were coming off some SEC East championships. Miami at least hadn't had really, I think they had like one losing season. They didn't really have many, you know, good seasons, but they didn't really have any terrible seasons either.
Right.
So when you look at these numbers, and I'll throw them back up on screen for those on YouTube, but when you look at, we'll start because we know they didn't get hired at the same time. When you look at the last few years, okay, they got us in those early years when we were still struggling. But when you look at the 2023 class going forward, when Mike Norvell started to find his footing, Mario Cristobal at Miami in 2023 signed a 53.5% blue chip ratio out of their class with 23 blue chips, which there's a lot of transfers in there
too. Yeah, a lot of transfers.
Mike Norvell's blue chip ratio is higher.
Yep.
In 2023, Billy Napier signed a great class. That was that was kind of, I mean, they, I don't know how he pulled it together, but they, you know, but they had a in 2023, they had a 69.7% blue chip ratio. But now looking at 2024, Florida State brings in a 62.5% blue chip ratio. Cristobal, 47.6, and Napier, 57.1. So you have a better class than Miami in 23. Blue chip ratio wise, quality, not quantity, because we know they like to load up on three stars down there in Moral Gables.
Yep.
But yeah, that's why I call them three star Mario. 2024, you're at 62.5% higher than both of them. 2025, right now, Florida's blue chip ratio is 57.1. Miami's at 61.5, and you're at 100%. So you are technically, on a quality standpoint, you are out recruiting the other two teams in the state. You are perfectly fine. So you are getting the Jimmys and the Joes now. And I, the reason I say that he can do with both, this is why Mike Norvell, and we're going to do a whole episode on this coming up, but this is why Mike Norvell is the X factor for Florida State, because he can win with X's and O's. He has not had the talented roster. I know people talk about, okay, well, he had two bad years at Florida State. You know, Cristobal and them are still finding their way. They didn't walk into that situation. They already had like top 15 talented rosters. They did
already.
Right. They say, oh, well, it wasn't his guys. But yeah, but the talent was there.
Yeah.
If you want to tout recruiting rankings, the talent was there. You just squandered it. So when you look at Mike Norvell, and I'll kick it back to you after this, but this is what I find so interesting. Over the last 2 years, when Florida State found their footing, and we'll do the last 2 years for everybody. That way, everybody at least got 1 year to get rolling, right? Uh-huh. So over the last 2 years, Florida State is 23-4. According to the 247 talent composite, which is the entirety of your team, how talented you are, they rank them. Florida State is 8-2 versus more talented teams than they've played. So Mike Norvell is 8-2 versus teams that had a talent edge over him. The two losses were to Georgia last year, the number one most talented team in the country, by the way, without half your team.
Thank you.
And then in 2022, you lost at home to Clemson by 6 points, and they were the number five most talented team, and I believe Florida State might have been number 17 that year. So then you look at versus less talented teams, they're 15-2 over those last 2 years.
Come on.
The only two losses you had were to Wake Forest by 10 points and to NC State by 2 points, and both of those teams were extremely more veteran than you from the COVID seniors and all that stuff. Florida State was a really young team in 2022.
Yes, they were. Yep.
And so I did a whole episode about it back then during that season. So when you look at the coaching that he's been able to do with what he's had, I mean, he's winning with X's and O's. And now you're starting to get Jimmys and Joes. And that's what's going to be even more impressive when they get a loaded roster to work with. So in case you were wondering, the other two programs in Florida, so over the last 2 years, Mario Cristobal has went 2-2 versus more talented teams. You notice that's a little bit less games because you have a talented roster to work with. You've had a more talented roster to work with. 2-2 versus more talented teams and 10-11 versus less talented teams.
Wow.
Billy Napier, 1-4 versus more talented teams, 10-10 versus less talented teams. So again, man, this is why I think when you look at recruiting and you look at where it's going, where it's headed, Florida State is acquiring the talent that a lot of other teams that have had that they haven't, but they're still managing to win games. So when they get that loaded roster, it's only going to take off from here. Whereas you've seen these other teams that like to tout their recruiting rankings, you've had a more talented roster than the majority of the teams you played, and you haven't done anything with it. So, man, this is why I tell people, as long as you have Mike Norvell sitting in that head coach spot, don't worry about recruiting. Don't worry about it, because one, he's going to bring in the talent. And then two, he's going to maximize that talent when you get it in here. Yeah. And that's not something we've seen from a lot of the other programs. That's not to say those guys can't coach. That's not to say those guys can't get talent. But the numbers tell you that Florida State, under Mike Norvell, has done better pretty close on the recruiting trail and on the field as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the number that really we should focus on, and the number that should give Florida State fans, you know, that warm, fuzzy feeling, is the 8-2. Florida State under Mike Norvell is 8-2, you know, over the last 2 years against teams with more talent than it has. 8-2, which means that Mike Norvell can coach the X's and O's and hang, not even just hang, but win more than not, 80% out of 10 games, eight out of 10 times, he's going to have a chance to win that game against a team that's more talented than his team, which also means that when he gets that talent,
yep,
and that talent begins to match the other team, how much more will that winning percentage goes up? I mean, you can only go up by two, right? To 100%.
Right.
And so you're living in the 80 percentile of teams that are better than you, and you're winning. Now, and let's just be real, because you already said this, Jesse, is the fact that one of those losses was against the number one composite team of talent when you didn't have your whole team together. You were playing with your backups, your second and third stringers, right?
Right.
So imagine, we all think, I know, I believe that had we had a full complement of that team against Georgia last year down in the Orange Bowl, that might have been a different game. I don't know if we would have won, but it would have been much closer than what it was. Much closer. Possibly even winning. If Florida State even had a chance to go into the college football playoff and play against a couple more teams that were compositely more talented than them, we all believe they could have won a national title, right?
Right.
And so that just gives me, as a Florida State diehard fan, all the warm and fuzzies of saying, man, when Mike gets those Jimmys and Joes, those X's and O's is going to make that team that much better, because we've seen it over and over again where Mike has brought in a under-talent team against number five, North Carolina, going into North Carolina, going into Clemson, going into these games, and like should not be winning and finding a way to either be close or to win the game over and over and over again. And so imagine, like, that's why it was, you know, if you remember back in January, then when we were so worried about Mike going to Alabama, that's what the scare, because you know that if Mike gets the talent, oh, look out, there's another dynasty coming. And I believe that Florida State is on the way to building a dynasty again with Mike Norvell.
I know, man. I agree. Now, I don't know if we beat Georgia, maybe with Jordan Travis. You know,
maybe
without Jordan Travis, I don't know about that, but it wouldn't have been the same score. You are 100% right about that. And even then, when you look back at last year, you had the 20th ranked talented roster, the 20 most talented roster going against the number one without most of your people. But even then, they punched above their weight class every single pretty much in the last 2 years. You look at 2022, they had the 17th most talented roster. They finished 11th in the final AP poll. You look at last year, they had the 20th, even I don't know how somehow it got worse when it felt like it was a lot better, the 20th most talented roster per the composite, and they finished tied for 6th. So like, again, they have overachieved. And I know a lot of people will be like, oh, well, Mario don't have his guys and you know, Napier don't have his guys. The thing is, you still have talent. So what you're telling me is that, like, Mike, look, we were garbage. We were hot garbage the first 2 years. So Mike wasn't able to get his guys in. He got whatever the heck he could grab.
And that argument, Jesse, just think about it. I mean, just real quick, like, what if Mike Norvell walked into Miami when Cristobal did, or when Billy walked into UF? You're not telling me Mike couldn't have won with those guys?
Right. Well, and my point to that is, like, people talk about, okay, you have to go to the portal, you can't develop and all this stuff. So you've taken a less talented roster and went up and overachieved with that, whether they were your guys or not. And we see what happened when he got a lot of his guys in, which, you know, is, again, still weren't necessarily his high school choices, but a lot of his guys is they went 13-0 before they lost half their team.
Correct.
These other staffs, they underachieved. You had a more talented team and you lost. You shouldn't lose with the 15th most talented. I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but they were top 15 almost every year. A top 15 roster. You shouldn't be losing to Georgia Tech. You shouldn't be getting your ass smoked by Middle Tennessee State.
Correct.
You shouldn't be losing to Vanderbilt.
Vanderfriggin'-bilt. You shouldn't be going out to Utah and getting smoked on national TV by the Mountain Men. I mean, come on now.
By a pig farmer quarterback, or kicking field goals down 30 points so you don't get shut out in a bowl game.
Exactly. Like,
the thing is, man, like, when you look at those teams, okay, and I know we don't do this often. I'll give them a little bit of respect this year.
Oh, okay.
Both teams should be relatively good this year.
Yes.
Now, Florida's in trouble because of their schedule. Miami has an easier schedule, but it's year three. You got your guys. You got the quarterback you wanted from the portal. I think Florida's probably a better team than people are giving them credit for. They just have a murderer's row of schedule. So for me, that's why I look at what, when you've seen the trajectory, the climb, as we like to say, that Mike Norvell has done, it's time for those other programs to put up or shut up now, because you now have your guys. You now have a setup to be able to do this. But again, man, this is why I just wanted to touch on why I'm not worried about the state of recruiting for FSU, because the guy that you have at the helm has shown you that he could win with a less talented roster.
Yeah.
And now you've seen that blue chip ratio. You've seen the amount of blue chip players. I mean, let me throw the slide back up. He brought in more blue chip players in the last 2 years than he did the first 3 years combined. I mean, this year alone, you've brought in almost as much in the 2024 class. Now, yeah, a lot of that's transfers, but these are still guys that you're putting in your system and you're using. So the recruiting is fine. It's going as long as they can not unexpectedly, would be a complete shock if they fell off a cliff. As long as they don't do that, I think the recruiting is perfectly fine here. The only thing they can really knock you on right now is being in the ACC, and we feel like that's not even going to be an issue for very long. So, yeah, man, I think it's going to pay off going forward. You've seen where they can win with a less talented roster. Now they're building that up. Imagine, again, man, Mike Norvell, since he's been at Florida State, has never had a top 15 level talent composite roster. Mm. Imagine when he has a top 10 roster to work with. I mean, it's going to be like, he's going to have to keep wearing black, because we're just going to be burying everybody every week.
I'm telling you what.
Right? Yes. I mean, you got to go out and do it. And that's why I think this year is so interesting for me, man. And we'll transition into our last segment here. But I think this year is so interesting because of what we mentioned earlier. I think this is okay, let's go out and prove. Let's double down on this, because we know last year we felt like you had a lot of pieces to do good. And they did. This year, there's a lot of, and we're going to talk about some of this in some upcoming shows, there's not a lot of belief in Florida State. Now, what's funny is a lot of the betting metrics and stuff have us doing well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that don't pick us to win the ACC, that don't pick us to make the playoffs. And so I think when you come into this year, it's an interesting case study, because can they replicate that success after turning over the roster very heavily, or is it kind of a rebuilding year? And I don't think that's the case, because Florida State actually has a more talented roster this year. And the last thing I want to get into, when we talked about the blue chip ratios before, you know, when we talked about the roster and the blue chip standard, where you're supposed to have above 50%, this, you know, this is all on paper, to be able to compete for the national championship. And that's been 10 years running and blah, 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 blah. Florida State, we feel like probably could have been the team to break it last year. They weren't over 50%, but could they have been that team? Well, guess what? Now this year, now, I will say that they got there by way of transfers, because they did not, they are not over 50% without transfers. But when you factor in the transfers, which I really don't understand why you don't factor in transfers, they are above 50%. They come in at 53% this year. So technically, this is the first time under Mike Norvell that you've had a roster that on paper is talented enough to go win a national title. Now, there's like 16 other teams out there that have that over 50%, and you have to play a few of them. You have to play four of them. You have to play Miami at 56%, Florida at 58%, Notre Dame at 63%, Clemson at 64%. But this is why it's so important to get the Jimmies and the Joes to combine with the X's and the O's, because you still have teams like, I mean, this is freaking ridiculous, dude. If they don't win a national title this year, you know, fire everybody. You have Ohio State at 86%, Alabama at 82%, Georgia at 71%, Oregon at 71%, Texas at 70%. You have all these teams. Now, this is why I'm not sure that I'm going to go out and say Florida State's going to win a national title this year, because there's so many other talented teams that have put a lot into this. Ohio State and Oregon are two that really come to mind that have really pushed their chips in towards this year, and then Georgia brought back a lot as well. There's a lot of really good teams out there waiting for you that towards the end of the year. But this is the first time that technically Florida State has had above that 50% ratio. So if they can make it into the playoffs, I think they have a puncher's chance to go win a national title.
Yeah.
But this is why this is going to be an interesting scenario for this year, man, because, you know, again, we talk about the star power that Florida State had last year with Jordan and Johnny and all these guys. You're technically more talented this year, and this is the first time that you've technically on paper had a shot to win the national title, unless you were the team to bust the blue chip standard. So I'm excited to see how this year plays out, because, you know, there's a lot of talented pieces. We just don't know how they're going to pan out. But man, if they have another good year after that much turnover, then man, I mean, that's when you start to see it's the program. This is something that, and I'm not saying we're Alabama. I'm not saying that we haven't won 16 national titles in the last decade or whatever, but you saw it did not matter who was the quarterback. It did not matter who was the coordinator. It did not matter who was the coaches. It was the framework and the process and the program that allowed them to be successful. So if they replicate this year with a more talented but less proven roster, man, that tells you that it is the framework of the program. And once that starts, once that talent level keeps increasing, man, it's only the sky is the limit from here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, gosh, I mean, you look at what Mike Norvell has been able to do with the rosters that he's had every single year, and you've only seen improvement. You've only seen growth. You've only seen decline. And so going into this year, having on paper arguably a more talented team than what we saw last year, it blows my mind. Right. But I can believe it. And so depending on how the season plays out, depending on injury luck, depending on a whole bunch of circumstances, they could find themselves at the end of the year. I mean, I think we did a preview show early on in the spring where we talked about, you know, some records of what we think they could be. But they could find themselves in the thick of the conversation for a playoff spot, ACC title, you know, potentially, you know, seeing how they fare in the new 12-team playoff section. That's all we want. That's all. We just want to be in the conversation. And Mike not only is having us in the conversation, but he's also making us relevant in the conversation. And so I'm excited to see that. I believe that we are in good hands. Recruiting's in good hands. The blue chip ratio is growing by the year. It's only going to get better. We're going to get the right kind of players, not just players. It's not just about, you know, getting a body. You actually have to get the types of players that are going to make a difference, whether that's high school or the transfer portal or roster retention, as you said. Those three facets of that, Mike is getting A's all around. And so really excited for how this is going to play out over the next several seasons.
Exactly, man. And that's really the whole point of the show as we get ready to wrap up, is the fact that recruiting is steadily climbing. It's steadily getting better. You know, the record on the field has steadily gotten better. And for all intents and purposes, you would look at Mike Norvell totally different had Jordan Travis not have got hurt, made it into the playoffs, and had this team have ended the season with a national title, which I mean, a lot of people feel, and you can couch it with or without Jordan if you want.
Right.
With Jordan Travis, I think that team wins a national title. And now all of a sudden you have a guy who went from 3-6 to a national title winning coach in 4 years. And so, like, again, man, that was with a team that was never inside the top 15 in the talent ranking. So you have a guy who can get the most out of these players, and now he's getting even better players.
Yeah.
So, man, again, like, you just have to be excited about the future of this program, the trajectory of this program as they continue to stack talent and as they continue to develop that talent in a manner that puts them in a position to succeed. So, like I said, am I predicting us to win a national title this year? I don't know. That's hard to say. Like, we got some more research and looking to do, but I think they're in a very good position to compete for one. So, man, I think that you're seeing this program as a whole continue to climb in the right direction. We are in great hands, and you know, no matter what number is next to the recruiting rankings right now, don't worry about it. Focus on the pieces you got, knowing that you have a coach that can do the most with them.
That's right.
So that is what is so exciting going forward. But that's going to wrap it up for us, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Like I said, we don't typically go heavy in recruiting, but, man, I thought this would make a great show for you guys to kind of show that we're in good hands. We're doing okay. I'm excited to be all in on football now. We're getting close. Like you said, July is right around the corner, and then before you know it, it'll be August and time for football. So we have some more exciting shows planned for you guys coming up, so make sure you tune back in for that. Drop a like and subscribe if you watch this long. If you're listening on the podcast and you like this, drop a rate and review. That helps us get the show out to more people. Also, make sure to check out plantthespear.com. where we have written articles, links to all our videos and stuff like that. And we'll be dropping that recruiting article this afternoon for you guys as well, kind of touching up the same thing as we talked about here. And with that being said, Michael, we'll call it here and we'll end it like we always do. Go check out Alumni Hall, by the way, guys. Go check those guys out. Get you some new gear for the upcoming season and use code SPEAR to save 10%. Thank you for supporting those who support us. And thank you for tuning in. As always, go Noles.